Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you this morning. And let's ask the Lord this morning to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity that, Lord, we have to live here in the Shenandoah Valley. What a wonderful, a beautiful place it is. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving it to us your mercy and your grace this morning. Thank you, Father, for all the many benefits that you've bestowed upon us already today, and yet today hasn't completely unfolded. And so, Lord, help us to take this day and, Lord, use it for your honor and glory. May you take this broadcast time and use it. May it be a stepping stone for us in the right direction. May it be an asset and not a liability. May it bring honor and glory to you, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, looking for biblical principles for practical living. I believe we as Christians ought to live by principle, not by emotions. Obviously, God has given us our emotions, joy, anger, fear, all of these different kinds of emotions, but God has not given us emotions to control us. They are a tool that God uses in our hearts and our lives, but they're not to be used to rule us and determine our course of actions. Godly principles are a parameter that's defined by God's word, by God's truth, and we are to conduct ourselves within that parameter. Often in our life, things come up and we respond to something or we react. I call reaction as something that you do just out of the flesh or out of the heat of the moment. Your emotions take over and you react. But a response is something that's been pre-calculated, pre-planned, pre-designed, based upon a principle, based upon a course of action that you've learned from in this case, the Bible, that determines what you're going to do. And in spite of your feelings, you'll do what you know to be true rather than what your feelings are telling you to do. And that's what we need to do as Christians. You know, far too many people, and especially the world, obviously, but also Christians, we live by emotions, and we strike out because of our emotions. You know, that doesn't honor the Lord as a believer this morning. And our goal is to learn and identify and then to put into practice these biblical principles. Of course, these principles are found throughout all the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. I am targeting those found within the book of Proverbs. I'm going down verse by verse. I'm not mentioning every verse here on the broadcast, but I've gone down through these and identified the principles that I want us to look at. And then we go to those as we get to them. There is no agenda. There's no pet peeves here being dealt with. As the principles are laid out in order, chapter, and verse, we deal with those. And so we just trust the Lord for the timing that it'll speak to people's hearts and change people's lives. We are in chapter 24, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, "Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." You know, sort of a sad verse, not sad that it's in the Bible, but sad that we have to be told and we have to be reminded not to rejoice when our enemy falls, and let not our heart be glad when he stumbles. You know, sad to say, but this attitude is as prevalent in Christianity sometimes as it is in the world. Perhaps sometimes even more. The Bible said it displeases the Lord when he sees those who are laughing at their enemy. They're rejoicing when their enemy falls, and they're rejoicing and glad when they stumble. That displeases the Lord. And certainly as a believer this morning, God is displeased with us when he sees within us an attitude of pleasure, an attitude of joy, an attitude of almost satisfaction that somebody, as we would say, got their comings up. Boy, you just wait and see. You'll get what's due to you. And boy, I'll be glad it happened. That's often similar to what we hear someone say, or unfortunately something that we even know that our mind or our own heart has said. You know, God's trying to teach us something. We ought not do that. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 5, "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished." Well, that's a pretty sober warning. He that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. God clearly is not in favor of us being glad when the enemy falls or stumbles. The book of Job, chapter 31, 29, Job said, "If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him." Then he says, you know, "I'll take my due." What he was saying is, Job was saying, I didn't do that. I haven't done that. I haven't been guilty of that. And the Bible says in Exodus 23, verse 4, "If thou meet thy enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again." He said, what's that have to do with that verse? Well, if you see your enemy's ox or ass, you know, someone may say, well, good. He deserves to lose it anyway. He's got too much, or he's hateful. You know, no, we're to make sure it gets back to him. Thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Even your enemy, not just your neighbor, not just the ones you like, but God says you have an enemy, and you find something that's his, that's missing, you have the responsibility, I have the responsibility, to take it back to our enemy and make sure he gets it. Not to rejoice that he's lost it, not to hide it and say, well, it's none of my business. It's not my problem. Well, God says it is our problem, and we're to make sure that we do things right. 2 Samuel chapter 1:12, the Bible says, "And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword." They were fasting and mourning and weeping. They weren't glad. They weren't happy. They were mourning over it. Proverbs 25:21, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink." And so simply this morning, God's given us a principle here. You know, your feelings may say, I'm not going to be nice to this guy. This guy's my enemy. This guy, he's just not the kind of person I'm going to worry about. It's not my problem. Matter of fact, I don't even like him. So I'm not worried about it. It's his problem, not mine. You know, we don't have the right as a Christian to do that. We're not to rejoice when our enemy falls. We're not to rejoice when he stumbles. Because the Bible says it displeases the Lord. I wonder this morning how many times we have displeased our Lord, our God, our Savior, because we've rejoiced. Or we've taken an attitude when our enemy's fallen and said, well, good, he deserves it. It's about time he got what he gives out. And we're rejoicing. We see our enemy have a problem. Instead of helping him fix the problem, we say, not my problem. Let him deal with it. You know, it's an attitude that God sees. And God says it shall not go unpunished. Certainly doesn't go unnoticed. And it certainly does not please our Lord and our Savior. I suspect this morning, as I think about this principle, that many of us, if not most of us, that have just finished listening to this part of this broadcast, would have to be honest with, if we would be honest with ourselves, we would have to say, you know, Lord, I have to admit to you, God, there's been too many times, one would be too many, but for many of us it would be far more than one time that we had rejoiced when our enemy had fallen, when some calamity came to those that we don't like, and they've been mean to us, they've been hateful. I wonder how many times we said, well, it's not my problem, let him deal with it. And yet God paints a different picture of how we ought to act as Christians. You know, perhaps this morning the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, maybe you've treated your enemy wrongly, and you need to, and God's saying to you, you need to call him up now. You need to make it right. You need to make it right because you've not done right. And so this morning, here's a biblical principle. Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth. God's not pleased with that. He's not pleased, and we shouldn't be pleased with it either. And if we find it in our hearts today, may God help us to confess it and forsake it. And if we've done something, we know of a situation where we can get resolution, we ought to go to that person, swallow our pride, and say, you know what, I owe you an apology, and make it right. And may God give us the wisdom and the willingness to do what God has shown to us this morning. Let's drop down to verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out." Fret not thyself because of evil men. Boy, do we not do that? We're envious often of the wicked. I won't spend a lot of time here because we've dealt with this principle in previous chapter, but just a reminder this morning, don't worry about what the seemingly wicked man, the world is getting by with. They're really not getting by with anything. They're not. The way of a transgressor is hard, the Bible says. And sometimes things, as we all know, are not as they appear to be. We may look into the world. We may look at that person who rejects God. We may seemingly think, boy, he's getting by with it. Why is it so easy for him? But you can rest assured it's not what it's all cracked up to be. There is disharmony in that life. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard, and God does not lie. And though you may not see the hardship, you may not see the difficulty, you can rest assured it's there. And it's not what it's all cracked up to be. And so we should not be worrying and fretting and envying the world, because we've got the best situation that any human being could be in. We're a part of the family of God. We're a child of the King. And his royal blood flows to us as we sing that song. And so we need to rejoice in that and not be envious at what seemingly the world is getting by with. Let's drop down to verse 21 and 22, and probably because of time, wrap up here with this one this week. But the Bible says in verse 21, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both?" That word meddle, it says meddle not with them that are given to change. The word meddle means to braid or to intermix. It's the idea, and some of you ladies would know this perhaps more better than we men, but you braid something. You braid your daughter's hair, or you're fixing some material, you're putting it together, and you're intermixing it. You know, God's teaching us that we're not to intermix or to braid ourselves among those that are given to change. Now, some people believe it's just a person who is without discipline, without character, without steadfastness or faithfulness. And so when you come across somebody who's like that, he's wishy-washy, back and forth, in and out, we're to separate ourselves from them. Others believe perhaps the meaning is more along the line that somebody who has abandoned the faith, he's left the faith, and so he's unstable. Either way you want to look at it, it's still talking about separation. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." God's teaching us here very simply a good principle. You will be tomorrow who your friends are today. You need to, you have a desire to be something or be like something, you better make sure those people that you're surrounding yourself by, either physically or by the books you read, the literature you read, or what you're exposing yourself to, you better make sure that group of people is what you want to be, because you will be like them in days ahead, because they will influence you. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." The Bible says in James 1:8, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And so we look at this verse, this principle here, meddle not with them that are given to change. If you want to take it, don't mess around with those who are without discipline. They have no character. They have no steadfastness. They're in and out, hot and cold, on and off. You know, you probably would be wise not to make great friendship with a type of person like that, because that person's probably going to influence you. And it's going to draw you down. If that means someone who's left the faith and just is double-minded and just left and can't make up his mind, he's in and out, you know, either way you want to look at it, it's still separation. And so the point and the principle would simply be this: we need to be careful who we're allowing to influence us. We need to be mighty careful, especially in the day in which we live. We need to be extremely careful. We probably cannot be careful enough with whom we are allowing to influence us. Who are you letting in your home today through the TV? Who are you letting in your home today through literature, through books you read? Who's influencing your children? What books are they getting from the library or from the book or from online? What shows are they watching? What are they looking at on the internet? Who are their friends, and what are their friends reading? What kind of music are they listening to? What authors are they reading? You know, these are influencing us. They're influencing our children. And God simply says this, very simply, meddle not with them that are given the change. You know, we'd be wise to take that bit of advice. I suspect this morning God knows a little bit more about this than we do, and we would do really well for ourselves to take his advice instead of listening to our own reasoning sometimes. So God's trying to help us here. Meddle not. Doesn't mean to, it doesn't, it's not a license to be mean to them. It's not a license to be hateful or unkind. Not at all. God never licenses or sanctions that. But it says don't meddle with them. Don't intermix. Don't braid, to be braided among them. Be careful, God's saying. Be careful. Be careful about yourself. Be careful for your family, because it's having an impact. Well, these are some good principles this morning that we have found from the book of Proverbs. I trust that you have found them to be a challenge, and I also trust that you have found them to be a hope, or excuse me, a help and a hope. And may God help us to apply these. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.